don't need it. I'm using this.
It's the other side.
Just down there. Like you, I'm not really big. Yeah.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's lovely to see you all this morning. The weather is getting a bit warmer, so it's lovely. Welcome to you all, and welcome to anybody who's worshipping with us for the first time. Please let the stewards know who you are, and we'd love you to stay and have coffee with us. Welcome to our preacher this morning, Reverend Sheila Bishop, and she will be assisted by Ruth, who is the worship leader in Macclesfield, and she's also an unknown to become a local preacher. And we welcome our children this morning. It's lovely to see you all. I hope you'll enjoy the service. They're all very busy in there doing the colourings. There was the film club yesterday, and I believe there were 16 people that attended the film. Apparently they all had to have tissues and everything, as usual. Good morning. Let me remind you that there will be a midweek service on Wednesday, and after the half-hour service at 12 o'clock, we will have lunch. The Bible study group meets on Monday morning and we'll be learning about the women of the nativities. If you'd like to join us, you're very, very welcome. And also a reminder about the Christmas fest, which will be on the 3rd, I think, Tuesday the 3rd of December. There will be things happening here in our church, so please support the event. Thank you. Christine would like to tell us something, I think.
Good morning. So I'm here again reading a letter from Graham, but this one is good news. So, dear friends, many of you will be aware that over the last week or so, we have hosted ministers visiting the circuit as part of the stationing process of the Methodist Church. The invitation committee were pleased that we were able to spend time with two presbyters who came to visit the Macclesfield circuit. These visits included conversations with representatives from each of our churches, time to explore the context of the circuit, and a discernment conversation with the invitation committee. After each visit, the invitation committee prayerfully considered whether to offer an invitation to serve as presbyters in the Macclesfield circuit. On this occasion, the invitation committee was convinced that it was right to offer invitations to both ministers who visited the circuit, and we are delighted that both have accepted our invitations. Therefore, we are pleased to announce, subject to the Methodist Conference, that from September 2025, the Reverend Deborah Lucas will be the Superintendent Minister of the Macclesfield Circuit. Deborah has agreed to an initial appointment of 4 years and will have pastoral charge of Gawsworth Methodist Church, Langley Methodist Church, and Macclesfield Methodist Church. The Reverend Stephen Dallin will serve as Presbyter in the Macclesfield Circuit, with an initial appointment of 5 years. Stephen will have pastoral charge of Broken Cross Methodist Church, Poynton Methodist Church, and Presbury Methodist Church. We trust that you will be as pleased as we are with this news and ask that you hold Deborah and Stephen in your prayers in the weeks and months to come. So I was going to paraphrase that in plain English, but I think you have all got the gist. But basically, we will have a minister from next summer. that was wishful thinking, wasn't it? From next summer, His name is the Reverend Stephen Darling, and I met him about 10 days ago with his family. So his wife is Jill, and they have a 15-year-old daughter, Ruth, who is taking her A-levels and will be starting in the high school, I think, in September in the sixth form. They're a lovely family. He was very enthusiastic, and I think he will be a blessing for our church. The other lady, the Reverend Deborah Lucas would have less input, I think, on the running of our church, but is very experienced superintendent, a somewhat quieter, more introverted personality. So I think the two of them will work really well together and complement each other. So thanks be to God for that.
Could you lead us in a prayer?
Sorry?
Could you lead us in a prayer, please?
Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for your graciousness, for your goodness, for your provision for us. Every day we recognise that provision in what you give us to eat, to wear, to heat our homes. But now we have this exciting news of how your Spirit has moved in the lives of two people who are coming to be amongst us. We just ask for your blessing upon them and continue to pray for the circuit and also for Graham as he continues to bless us with his ministry. Amen. While I'm on my feet, I just want to say how good it is to have the young people at the centre of our worship. It's really lovely to see you. I hope that although you're very busy colouring, that you're going to stop that colouring whenever I ask and come and help me, because I've got some parcels to undo. So please don't be busy. Please be here, because that might be quite exciting. Okay.
Are we ready now to start our worship for this morning? Nearly.
We have our hymn.
The first hymn, number 2525, in Singing the Faith, God is here and that to bless us. Thank you. If you're able, we stand to sing.
Find a welcome in the shepherd's flock and fold. Here as bread and wine are taken, Christ sustains us as of old. Hear the servants of the servant speak in worship to explore what it means in living, to believe and to adore. Lord of all of church,
Let us pray. Loving and Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the presents that have been brought here for the less fortunate children, and you to bless these children and their families when they receive these gifts, and those who help to facilitate this process, your blessing also on them. Lord God, you are a mystery. Your greatness is beyond what we can fathom, your power beyond our understanding. Help us to walk in your way and to trust and obey. Where you are leading us, even when it is uncomfortable, give us the courage to keep going, the understanding to let some things go, the humility to accept that we don't know all the answers, but that you do. For you, Lord, exist outside time and space. You are the beginning and the end. In you we place our hope. In you we trust. Amen.
Amen.
Our prayer of confession. We have not always lived in ways that reflect God's love for us. There are times when prejudice and ignorance have caused us to judge others as less important, less capable, less whole than ourselves. We have not always lived as people assured of our place in God's heart. There are times when despair has been our refuge and we have turned from God's promises. We have not always lived as disciples of Jesus. There are times when the paths to wealth and power have been more attractive than the longer roads of justice, peace, and tolerance. We have not always lived as people of the resurrection. There are times when we have only seen the world as a place of threat and brokenness, forgetting God's creative genius. Gracious God, release us and grant us wisdom. In quietness now, we remember those thoughts, actions, and words that have marred your image in us, hurt others, and damaged the world. Just one moment of silence. God has heard the confession of our hearts and minds. In Christ we are set free. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen.
The general prayer of thanksgiving. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble hearts for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you and for your creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies, with that truly thankful hearts, we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service, and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit we honour and glory throughout all ages. Amen.
Amen.
We share together the prayer that Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Right, well, what an amazing number of parcels and toys we've got over there. We all like receiving something. Hands up those who think they know what they're having for Christmas. Just one or two people. Anybody? Right, good. Some people there as well. Well, it'll be lovely. I thought to make it fair today, because you have brought lots of toys to give away, I would bring you some gifts that God has sent for everybody. Okay? So we've got five gifts, so we've got to get a move on. And this is the first gift. Right, and it says something on it. Who would like to come and read it for me? Okay? Can you read it for me? Oh, you'll have to speak really loudly for everybody.
To the world from God, this gift needs great care and love. Please look after it always.
To the world from God, this gift needs great care and love. Please look after it always. Well, actually, God didn't need to tell Poynton that, because Poynton do look after the world because they're really interested in the world and making it good. So I wonder, would you like to help me get this out?
Yes.
Right.
A paddling pool ball.
It's a paddling pool ball, but it's a paddling pool ball with... Can you see what is it is? It's the world, isn't it? Right. We're going to put the world... Will you just bring it with me?
Yes.
And put it over here. Thank you very much. Do you know what the first... This is for the adults. What are the first four words in the Bible? In the beginning what? Or who? In the beginning God. In the beginning God. Before you were here, before I was here, before everybody here was here, God was there in the beginning. And however you read Genesis, and however you think about it, we know that God created the world, and he wants us to look after it. And I know that you've got a song which is very special to you, and you know it, and you're going to teach us. So I'm sure you all need to get up, because there's some actions to do, aren't there? And we're going to sing, Our God is a Great Big God. All right?
Our God is a great big God. Our God is a great big God.
I think we need to stand up.
Our God is a great big God, and he holds us in his hands.
Why
the universe and beyond my wildest
Let's sit down again. So that's parcel number one. And I know at Poynton that you've got all sorts of things that you do in order to look after the world. And our God has given us this world because he loves us. Last week, Reverend Graham said, you will never see anybody that God doesn't love. Do you remember? I remember it in his prayers. So that's really important. So God loves us all, and that is very, very important. So how do we know about God? Well, we need to open our second parcel. So let's have somebody different to open it. Come on. You're going to be helping him. Now, we need you to read that out. Can you read that out on there? To everyone. That's right. To everyone from God, open this gift each day and read. It is very important. So if you sit down on the ground, that's it. And this young man's going to open this for us, isn't he? Lots of sellotape. Are you tough? Right, there you go. Well, what's in here? Lots of books. Lots and lots of books. No, I will have them. You sit down. That's it. We've got a little tiny book, which is part of the Bible, which you might be given when you become a member of the church, so that you can learn all about Jesus. We've got a book that's a Bible which has been well used by lots of people, because that's what Bibles are for, isn't it? Not to put on the shelf. We've got a book, which is a Bible, which my husband has had for about 70 years, and he used it in college, and he was given that Bible by his dad, and he used that to learn about Jesus. And then we've got my Bible, which was given to me when I was ordained, when I became a minister. The thing that I needed was to learn and to read and to look at this Bible. So, I'm going to see now how much you know about the Bible. How many books are there in the Bible? Because this Bible isn't just one book. Does anybody know? Think of a big number. What? 70? You're very, very near. There are 66 books in this Bible. And 39 of them are in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. And do you know that right in the middle of the Bible is Psalm 103? So you can go home and look that up. Right in the middle of the Bible, in all the words. And the interesting thing is that there are three words which only occur once in the Bible. One is the word grandmother, in the book of Timothy. One is the word eternity, which surprised me. I thought it would be in the Bible more often. And one is very strange. It's the word gnat, G-N-A-T. I don't know where that comes, but I've got it on good authority. And there is a verse, which is Daniel 14:37, which actually contains all the letters of the Bible. So now, if you would pick these Bibles up, not this one, but these, and put them over by the world, okay? There's one for you, one for you, one for you. Make a nice pile of them. That's it. We're going to sing a very short song now, not one you know, but you will know it at the end, because it keeps saying the same thing, and it's the best book to read is the Bible. So let's look for that, okay? can stay seated. We'll sing it through twice.
Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. The best book to read is the Bible. If you read it every day, it will help you on your way. Oh, the best book to read is the Bible.
Now, on your table, you've got some little pieces of paper which you can make into a whole list of all the things in the Bible. So I hope that you're going to come and do that while Ruth talks to us.
Our reading today is taken from the last book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4b to 8. John is writing to the church at Smyrna. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him, and all people on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to become, the Almighty. Thanks be to God. The prophet Daniel foresaw something of this. And in Daniel 7 and verse 1, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Alpha and the Omega in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, 21, verse 6, and 22, verse 13. Alpha and Omega are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet. Among the Jewish rabbis, it was common to use the first and the last letters of the Hebrew alphabet to denote the whole of anything, from beginning to end. Jesus, as the beginning and end of all things, is a reference to no one but the true God. This statement of eternality could apply only to God. It is seen especially in Revelations 22 and verse 13, where Jesus proclaims that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. One of the meanings of Jesus being the Alpha and Omega is that he was at the beginning of all things and will be at the close. It is equivalent to saying he always existed and always will exist. It was Christ, as the second person of the Trinity, who brought about the creation. Through him, all things were made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. And his second coming will be the beginning of the end of creation as we know it. As God incarnate, he has no beginning, nor will he have any end with respect to time, being from everlasting to everlasting. A second meaning is that Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. Is that the phrase identifies him as the God of the Old Testament. Isaiah ascribes this aspect of Jesus' nature as part of the triune God in several places. I am the Lord, am the first, and with the last I am he. I am the first and I am the last. Beside me there is no God. We can read that in Isaiah 44 and verse 6. I am he, I am the first, I also am the last. These are the clear indications of the eternal nature of the Godhead. Christ is the Alpha and Omega, is the first and last in so many ways. He is the author and finisher of our faith, signifying that he begins it and carries it through to completion. He is the totality, the sum and substance of the scriptures, both of the law and of the gospel. He is the fulfilling end of the law, and he is the beginning subject matter of the gospel of grace through faith, not of works. He is found in the first verse of Genesis and in the last verse of Revelation. He is the first, the last, and all in all of salvation, from the justification before God to the final sanctification of his people. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Only God incarnate could make such a statement. Only Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Thanks be to God. Our next hymn, number 161. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you, and we're just singing verses 1 and 2. We stand to sing this one if you're able. Thank you.
We're going to sing a grown-up hymn now, but afterwards we shall be singing your hymn, okay? So parcel number 3. Let's see what we can find. Who's going to help me with parcel number 3? Are you? Can you carry that? It's very heavy. We need to go this way, don't we? This parcel says, to the world from God. I hope this gift will surprise you. It brings my love. Right, now, just a minute. We're going to get rid of all the paper and the wrapping.
You have to be very festive at fractions.
And I would like you to arrange it here on the front. Can you pick the paper up? That's it. So that everybody can see it. Could you take that out? Thank you. Right, and if you could just move back so that we can all see. You come round here. Right. Do you remember singing, Our God is a... Do you remember singing, "Our God is a great big God"? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So God is great. But look, this is God too, in Jesus. He's not very big, is he?
No, he's just a little
Because
baby.
He was born as a baby. So let's see who's here with him. Can you move out the way because nobody else can see?
Okay.
Come round the back. So who is this?
Mary.
It's Mary. So, and how did Mary help Jesus? She was his...
Joseph.
His mother, Joseph. Wasn't he? And who was this?
Joseph.
Joseph was his father on earth. And why is there a shepherd here? Can you tell me that?
Because a star and
Who came to see Jesus when he was born?
The shepherds.
The shepherds. And who told the shepherds?
The star.
Not the star.
The angels.
The angels, didn't they? Yes. So here we are. So we're going to say this is God's gift to us.
And one of the innkeepers let them in the stable.
That's correct. You know, you're very good. You know the story.
At school, there's a Christmas show.
Yeah.
Right. Have any of you ever been in a play about Jesus in the stable?
Because it was last Christmas.
Last Christmas, right. That's really good, isn't it? So we've got this gift from God to us, the gift of his son. And I want to tell you a little story. So just sit there quietly, okay? Don't need that because you're going to listen, aren't you? There was once upon a time a very elderly lady, and she had to go to the doctor a lot of times because she was poorly. And she lived in a great big caravan amongst lots of other caravans because she couldn't afford a house. And not many people came to see this lady, but she went to the doctor very often, and he looked after her and he got to know her. Well, it was Christmas time. She didn't see anybody at Christmas. There were no stockings hanging on her bed nail. There was no postcards, Christmas cards, coming through the door of her caravan. And she felt very, very lonely. She was very surprised because on Christmas Eve, a knock came on the door. And thank you. I do like the sound effects. And she thought, well, who is that coming to see me? I don't really know people round here. I'm a bit lonely. But she went to the door and opened it. And to her surprise, there was a great big bunch of flowers being handed in through the door. Oh, she said, nobody brings me flowers. This is wonderful. And then she realized who was behind the bunch of flowers. And it was the doctor. And she said, oh, do come in. I don't have many visitors. And he came in and sat down and talked to her. And when he was going later on, when they'd had a nice conversation and she'd given him a cup of tea, she said, do you know, I love the flowers, but I love best of all that you came in person to see me. And that's what God did. He came in person. He didn't shout down a megaphone to tell us how to live. He said, here I am in Jesus, and he will show you how to live. So that was a very special gift. And do you know, one of our hymns says, our God contracted to a span. I don't suppose you know what a span is, but it's 9 inches across from your little finger to your thumb. So when you go back to your seats, I want you to draw round your hand to remind you. And when my great-granddaughter, who was here last Sunday, was born, she was born premature. And there's a picture I have of her grandfather holding her literally as a span in the hollow of his hand. And I like to think that God holds each one of us in the hollow of his hand. So let's... leave our beautiful crib so everyone can see it. And I'm going to read you some... Oh, are you going to read? Where is she? Where's Zoe? So, are you going to read it, the poetry? This is a little poem about God and the gifts that he gives us. No, just
the gifts.
Yeah, and the rest.
When God made the world, he also made potatoes and planets and puppies, giraffes and gorillas, goldfish and guppies, kangaroos, kittens and cows that go moo. Then best of all, he made me, he made you, to care for his world, to care for each other, to love and respect him like good sons and daughters. And when he finished, God smiled and said, "This is good and it makes me glad. This is good and it makes me glad." But something went wrong. We thought we knew best. We ignored what God said. We made the world a mess. So I laughed at you and you called me names. Just because we are different and not all the same. We hit and we hurt and we bullied and fought. And the great God who loved us, we simply forgot. And it made God so sorry. And that's why he said, "This is bad and it makes me sad. This is bad and it makes me sad." But God's love was bigger than the mess we had made. He knew what to do. So here's what he said: "I'll send them my son to show them the way, to love one another and live like I say, and give them the power deep down in their hearts to fight what is bad and make a new start, and live in this world just like I first planned, and turn what was sad into glad again, and turn what was sad into glad again." So Jesus healed sick people, cared for the poor, gave food to the hungry, 5,000 and more, welcomed the lonely, raised up the dead, lived what he taught, did what he said. But some didn't like him. They wanted to rid the world of the things which he said and he did. So they put him to death. It looked like the end of God's plan to turn sad into glad again. Of God's plan to turn sad into glad again.
Thank you very much. Now, you've been listening to us sing our hymns, but we're going to sing one of your hymns that you know, and it's "Jesus, My Superhero," or some words to that effect. So let's get ready to sing, okay? To say that the actions were optional in that case. And we've got somebody in our congregation today who has a birthday today, so we've got to sing to her, haven't we? And her name is Margaret. I don't know where she is, so Right, she's over there. So we all wish you a very, very happy birthday, Margaret, and congratulations on getting there. So let's sing to her, shall we? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Margaret. Happy birthday to you. Right. Parcel number 4. Usually when we open a parcel, we think to ourselves, it's going to be something cool, it's going to be something great, it's going to be something useful, it's going to be something pretty. But I'm afraid this parcel, when you first open it, isn't any of those things. And yet, God says, to the world from God, this gift shows how much I love you. And if Jesus is your superhero, you know that. And if your God is a great big God, you know that he's big enough to love us all. So now we're going to open this parcel and we shall find in it some very strange things. Right, just a moment, just so we share. Right, so.
Yeah. I need that. I'll help you.
That's one thing. You just stand still and hold that there, okay? Right, wait a minute. You've been very patient, so I'm going to give you this next one. Okay, and come up on here so we can see it. Thank you. Come up. Let's go over here. So we've got room. Right. So what do you think this is?
A whip.
It's a whip, isn't it? And I should have had something else which was about that long and very, very sharp. I wonder what I'm thinking of. Something you use a hammer with.
A nail.
Nails, great big nails. So why would you put this? How can this possibly be something special? How can it be that it shows God's love? Well, you've got something else. What have you got? Do you know what that is? It's a crown. It's a crown, isn't it? A crown, but very prickly. Not a crown with lots of diamonds in, a crown of thorns. And that crown was put on Jesus' head when he was taken away, whipped, and nailed to the cross. How can that possibly make us feel glad, like Zoe said in the poem? Because in doing that, he showed us how much God loves us. So if you could stretch out your hands, your arms, as wide as you can. That's what God's saying when he stretched out his hands on the cross in Jesus. He said, I love the world, all of it, that much. And everybody inside, everybody that you see in your life, God loves because he's special. We don't really understand how it happened, but we know because he died on the cross, like Ruth was saying, we are forgiven. Nothing stands out. He doesn't hold anything against us. We are forgiven and we're able to enjoy his life. Not only here, of course, but in that word that's in the Bible, eternity. Right, so we've got the world, we've got the Bibles, we've got the crib, and we've got this. And let's put this up here to remind us just how much Jesus went through in order to show us that he loved us. Okay? And we're going to sing a hymn now, a little song. Jesus' Love is very wonderful. It's one of my favourites. So if you come down here with me, we're going to show the congregation how to do the actions, okay? Right.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so you can't get around it. Oh, once more. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love, very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high you can't get over it, so low you can't get under it, so wide. Oh.
It may be that you would like to do a drawing of the cross to show me at the end of this next hymn, because we're going to sing an adult hymn which is very precious to us, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. Shall we stay seated to sing this so that we can really think about the words?
When I survey the wondrous cross,
of course, that wasn't the end of the story, and that's why we can be full of joy and gladness, and that's why the cross can make us happy and give us such a sense of contentment. I have this, it's not a Bible, it's a book, and I had it given to me in 1947. Some of you were around then, and it's full of wonderful pictures that come to life like that. As Jesus teaching the people But I want to show you this picture and leave it on the communion table before Ruth speaks to us just a few minutes at the end of our service, because this is the very last picture. Not only was the cross empty because they took Jesus' body down, but also where they laid him in the tomb, of course he was there on the evening of Good Friday, but 3 days went by and some women came to anoint his body, and instead of finding Jesus, they found an angel who said to them, "Why are you looking for Jesus here among the dead? He's not dead, he's alive." And that's why we could sing in our very first hymn, "God is here," because he's alive and he's with us all through our lives. And Ruth is going to just tell us briefly what that means to us.
Why are we happy that the tomb is empty? Jesus promised in John 14, verses 2 and 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." In the words of the Apostles' Creed, on the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. The claim that Jesus rose from the dead is definitely a public claim. When the Bible writers claim that he rose, they mean that he rose in space and time in history, an event that happened in our world. Take, for example, the Apostle Paul's summary in his letter to the church at Corinth. The message he received and passed on to the Corinthians, found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verses 4 to 8, that Jesus was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all of the apostles, and last he appeared to me. For Paul, the resurrection of Jesus is not something that happens in human hearts, religious services, or mythic prehistory. The resurrection happened about 20 years before Paul wrote this letter. In our world, and a whole bunch of people had seen the risen Jesus. It means that Jesus really is alive. He is someone we can know, not just know about. The resurrection validates the claims that Jesus made about himself. He made extraordinary claims for himself, and he rose from the dead. The resurrection completes salvation. It proves that his work of salvation on the cross was effective and accepted by God. God did not allow the truly innocent sufferer to stay dead. The payment he made for sin was accepted by God, and we know that because that Jesus did not stay dead. The resurrection points to the future. We will, the Bible says, and the resurrection confirms, we will be raised with him. He is God's pilot project for the new creation. It underlines the value of humanity. Christianity is a humanistic religion. It's about a God who loves humans so much that he became one of them in order to save them. Jesus rose as a truly human being. He will remain a truly human being for all of eternity. In the incarnation, divinity came to humanity. In the resurrection, humanity was taken up to divinity. The resurrection of Jesus motivates Christians to live the Christian life. We are called to live the life of love and service, freed from the desperation of trying to squeeze every last drop out of the one life we have. If there is a world to come and a resurrection to be part of, then life is more than just frantically trying to tick off that bucket list. We are indeed happy that the tomb is empty, as we happily recall the promise of Jesus in John 14 and verses 2 and 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Amen.
Amen. And so we come to our final hymn, which begins with those words which are so important: Christ is alive. Now, I brought along a jigsaw puzzle. I hope it's on the floor underneath. If some of you would like to come and try and make it while we were singing the hymn, I think you probably could, because I've put the edge pieces, I've cheated a bit and put the edge pieces, but it would be good if you could do that, because I've got a bag of sweets for after the service. So if the jigsaw puzzle is done, then obviously not only you but the adults can have some sweets as well. So it's our final hymn, Christ is Alive. And as we sing this hymn, we haven't got time to have our intercessions, but in each verse it mentions something in our world that is broken and so on, something that needs our prayers. So let's make this a hymn in which we pray also as well as sing. Okay?
Yes.
Christ is alive, let Christians sing, the cross stands empty to the sky. Let saints with praises ring, love drowned in death shall never die. Christ is alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, and touching every place and time. In every insult, rift and war, where colour, scorn or wealth divide, Christ suffers still, yet loves the more, and lives where even hope has died. Women and men in age of youth can feel the spirit, hear the call, and find the way, the life, the truth revealed in Jesus. Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age, till earth and sky and ocean ring with joy, with justice, love and praise.
So may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Let's share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Now let's see this puzzle. Well done. And in my bag somewhere, there's some sweets.